Hi, this is Anthony, and this podcast is about gardening, where to start, how to improve soil, and how to plant and maintain a garden. I first started gardening in middle school. I started with too much. I tried to do too many things, and it didn't end up working because I spread myself too thin. In eighth grade, I doubled the size of the garden. This huge increase in tasks made me burn out. I didn't plant much that year, but in the next years since, I have made better plans and started earlier to spread out the work. This way, gardening a larger plot is still enjoyable to me. When choosing a new position for a garden, you should consider a few things. Full sun is best in most cases, but I prefer to have a little shade in the afternoon because it's so dry and hot in the summer. Some afternoon shade helps protect the plants from the harsh sun. Shaded areas can still have some good crops, but your options will be far less. Avoid low spots that will collect cool, moist air. This can cause some seeds to germinate slower and be more susceptible to fungal infections. The soil should drain easily. It shouldn't puddle or be very muddy. On the other hand, extremely sandy soil isn't good either. You can test soil by taking some in your hand and squeezing it. It shouldn't fall apart after you let go, but you should be able to break it apart easily with your hands. Healthy soil is important to grow all crops. Some soil is sandy, and some is clay, and some is loamy. Sandy and clay soil can be remedied by adding organic matter. Compost is pure organic matter, or humus. Adding it to the garden is one of the easiest ways to improve soil. Other ways to add organic matter are turning over a cover crop, adding decomposed manure, adding a heavy layer of mulch, or adding decomposed leaf matter to the soil. Another part of healthy soil is that it's not compacted. Soil becomes compacted either by getting pushed down by footsteps or snow and rain slowly settling the soil. Keeping soil uncompacted is important so that the roots can get both air and water. Beneficial organisms live in healthy soil, such as worms and other small animals, fungus, and bacteria. Fungus are perhaps the most interesting. They help create channels for air and water and give plants essential nutrients in exchange for sugar. These fungal relationships are called mycorrhizae. Keeping healthy soil involves working with and not against these fungus. Ways to keep soil non-compacted include making walkways so your feet don't touch the soil, and covering it. Covering soil can mean many things. You should always cover soil during the winter when it's not in use. You can use leaves, cardboard, or even plywood to cover soil in the winter. Once seedlings are grown, mulching your soil is the best way to keep it covered. Mulching will help to keep moisture in and prevent compression. Covering soil is extremely important to hold the soil structure together, block UV rays from soil organism, and keep water in. In nature, soil is always covered by fallen leaves or plants or decomposing debris. Soil that is uncovered is unhealthy and can grow far less. When soil is compressed, water and air have a hard time getting to the roots and mycorrhizal fungus. Disturb soil less often. Doing so destroys the fungus who live in the soil. Using a pitchfork to loosen the soil is much better than a shovel, as it disturbs less soil. pH is a less important part of soil health for most gardeners, but for others it can mean the difference between a great harvest or none at all. Loamy soil is very acidic. It's great for growing strawberries, blueberries, and roses, but other plants will not thrive or survive in this soil. Clay soil is usually alkaline. In some cases, it can have so much salt that plants extract it, such as the salt brush in Utah, which is used as a salt flavorant because it extracts so much salt from the soil. Most plants prefer, however, mostly neutral soil. You can test your soil with electronic monitors or chemical testing kits. To make soil more acidic, gardeners add manure and decomposing leaves. To make it more alkaline, they add potash or lime. Adding fertilizer can be a big part of improving soil. Healthy soil should have nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, along with other vitamins and minerals. There are many ways to fertilize, with compost, seaweed, and other natural products, or synthetic ones. Compost is one of the best soil amendments. It keeps soil at a good texture, pH, and adds nutrients to the soil. If you use plenty of compost and keep your soil healthy, you won't have to fertilize often or not at all. You can buy compost or make your own. It is easy to make your own with nitrogen and carbon components. Nitrogen components include kitchen scraps or lawn clippings. Carbon ingredients can include paper, wood chippings, or dry fall leaves. Once you have the correct ratios of nitrogen to carbon ingredients, fully completed compost can be made in less than 6 weeks. You can read more about compost online or in books specifically about composting, such as Compost City by Rebecca Louie. Seeds are perhaps the most important. They can be the cheapest way to start plants, but they can also sometimes be harder. You should start to buy seeds in January and December when the seed catalogs first come out. I recommend the companies High Mowing Seeds and Sustainable Seed Company. Both have an extremely large variety in seeds and are both extremely environmentally friendly. Some seeds can be started indoors as early as January. Others must be planted outside many weeks after the first frost date. For example, you can begin planting onions, leeks, celery, and parsley in January and February. March and April is when you should plant tomatoes, peppers, and okra indoors. And April or early May is when you can plant spinach, lettuce, carrots, and peas outside, and squash and pumpkins and cucumbers inside. Late May is when it's time to move most indoor started plants outside and plant corn and beans outdoors. You can plant some early season annuals in the late fall for winter harvest, such as spinach, lettuce, and radishes. If you don't know when to plant seeds, it usually will tell you on the back of seed packages, in many books, or on charts online. Another way to plant earlier or later in the season is cold frames and row covers. These can push your planting dates earlier or later in the season by many weeks to maximize harvest. You can even plant and harvest certain crops year-round. Planting on top of compost is another way to plant earlier. Compost, when being made, generates a lot of heat because it's many small organisms metabolizing the nitrogen. This increased temperature is great for starting seedlings early in the spring. There are many different ways to plant seeds. Some bigger ones like squash, pumpkin, or tomatoes prefer to be planted by themselves in mounds. Others prefer to be broadcasted, such as mesclun mixes and wheat, and others in row like carrots or radishes. Some like to be planted indoors, and some out. You can find out how to plant your seeds online or in books, and even on the backs of seed packages. Some people prefer to start plants already started, bought from the store. This method can be easier for some plants, but can have less varieties and is far more expensive compared to seeds. Watering has become increasingly more of a problem recently due to droughts and climate change. To conserve water, there's many things you can do in the garden to save both your water bill and the environment. Mulching is the number one way to conserve water in the garden. Water drips down in between mulch particles, and the soil retains much of the water because it's protected from the sun and its UV rays. It's harder for the water vapor to go up through a layer of mulch, drastically slowing down evaporation and holding in soil and holding in water. Growing plants that are native to your area or climate helps, as they will be well adapted to the climate in which you are growing. Drip irrigation lines are also good to help water because they waste less water by having less contact with the air. They can be great when seedlings need to stay moist to germinate early on in their lifespan. Having healthy soil is important for water conservation as well. Sandy soil holds almost no water, and clay soils can hold too much water. Balanced soil with plenty of organic matter will drain fast enough to prevent drowning your plants, but will hold enough water for the plants for a longer time. Watering less often and in more volume helps use less water and makes healthier plant roots. Harvesting can be the best part of gardening. Many crops have specific times to harvest to get either the best tastes and textures or to get another harvest in the season. Brussels sprouts, for example, taste best after the first frost. Another important part of harvesting is avoiding large harvests all at once. When you harvest a lot at once, more food is wasted when it is not eaten quickly. You also leave more soil uncovered, which, as I said before, is bad for the soil. To avoid this, you can plant in succession, sowing seeds every few weeks so that you will harvest at different times and spread out the harvest. You can find out when to harvest in books, online, or on seed packages. There are many good gardening resources out there. For this podcast, I used a book called The Vegetable Gardener's Bible, Gardener's Supply Company, and The Spruce Gardening. There are many other resources, too. Online is full of useful articles and charts, and books purchased or borrowed from the library are credible sources as well. Thank you for listening to my podcast on gardening. Have a nice day.